And God's will for us in situations when we don't comprehend, we don't understand, we're frustrated, maybe we have a bad attitude, we're not living according to God's word, we say, okay, God, I just want to take a moment and I want to give you thanks. I'm praying right now you would help my mind, you would help my heart, I would live according to your word because I know in all situations you want me to live for your glory. And that's your will for me. And that's your will for me. Who here by show of hands would just say, you are pretty certain God has a better plan than you do? Okay, anybody? Yeah. I'm pretty sure I've kind of reached that point in my life where I've just discovered, man, God's got a better plan for my life, for your life, for this church, for this country, for the world than I do. How many are just thankful for that? How many have ever tried to just make your plans without God? I call it shoehorn planning, okay? So basically how it works is I say, God, this is my plan. If you could just fit in with the program, that would be great, okay? You're just kind of off doing your own thing in heaven. If you would just get with my plan, that would be awesome. Who here has ever done that? Okay, yeah, I know who you are. All of us have done that. Today we're finishing up, finally, you're gonna say finally, we're finishing up our series, You Asked For It. Everybody say, You Asked For It. And we are asking the question today, and we're going to answer it. It is literally, probably, literally, 100% certain. I'm just making up words. What is certain? I had too much coffee today. The question that everyone has asked around the globe, this question right here, we're going to answer it today to the best of our ability in God's word, and that is this: how can I know what God's will is for my life? It has got to be the number one question, because we've all asked that. Somebody say, well, okay, God, you don't even have to be a Christian to have asked that. God, what do you want me to do? Or, oh, God, help. It's a plea right in our heart to say, okay, God, what do you want me to do for my life? What do you want me to do in this situation? And how can I know it, you know? And I really believe that we don't so much as find God's will so much as we live it out. And I'm going to explain that to you this morning. Jesus said something really interesting when he was in a house and he was teaching, and it was so crowded, his mom and his brothers showed up to talk to Jesus, and Jesus says something really interesting. Look what he says in Mark chapter 3. It says, then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived, standing outside, and they sent someone to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, your mother and brothers are outside looking for you. He says, who are my mother and my brothers? He asked. Stop right there for a second. Could you imagine if that was your son? Who are those people? It's a little hurtful, a little dagger right to the heart. Well, Jesus has a purpose. Remember, Jesus always has a purpose in everything he says. Watch what he says. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him, and he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will, everyone say God's will. Whoever does God's will is my brother and my sisters and my mother. Isn't that interesting? And Jesus makes this statement. He says, hey, it's more than just flesh and blood. It's the people who are doing God's will. I don't know about you, but I want to be known as a person who is associated with the family of Jesus. I want Jesus to look at me and say, hey, that's part of my family. And this is what he's alluding to. These people are part of my real family, not just blood, but people who are doing the will of God. And who was sitting around him? People who were living out God's will and God's plan. People who were doing the ministry, people who were following Jesus, people who were looking for the will of God in their life. These are the people who are putting their hand to the plow, if you will, who are putting their feet to the pavement. Those are the people who are doing God's will, who are really my mothers and my brothers. There are different aspects to God's will, and I'm just going to explain them to you just briefly, because we don't want to get into a Bible college class this morning. But there's really kind of three aspects, if I can just sum it up in three things. One, there's the sovereign will of God. And the sovereign will of God is his purpose and his plan throughout all time, throughout all history, throughout the whole galaxy. And that will, that purpose, that plan will be accomplished no matter what you do. No matter what you do, God's will be done. because he's sovereign. That's the big word for it. He's sovereign. He reigns over all time, over all kingdoms, over all people. God reigns. He has a sovereign will, and it will be accomplished. The other part of God's will we could look at and we could talk about is his moral will. In other words, how does God want you to live out your life? What does he teach us? How are we supposed to make decisions? What is the right way in which we should live? That's the moral will of God. You following me? Who here has ever failed at living to God's moral will? That would be all of us. You know how I know it's all of us? Because we're all sinners, the Bible says. We've all fallen short of that moral will of God. But nevertheless, it still exists. It's how we know the difference between right and wrong. And then we also have the individual will, if you could put it that way. And that's, what is God's will for your life, okay? What is his plan for your life? A lot of times people think, oh man, God's only got one plan. I'm going to kind of help you understand that in just real time today, if I can, as much as I can, as God gives me the ability to articulate it, because these are big, huge subjects in the context of, how do I know what God's will is for my life? Because I'm not so great at planning my life out. I kind of mess it up a lot. Well, I'm going to take all of those three things and I'm going to sum it up for you in one sentence, okay? And I want you to remember this. I want you to write it down. How do I know what God's will is for my life? And write this down. Everything I'm going to talk about summed up in one sentence. You ready for it? Here it is. The will of God is a way of life. The will of God is a way of life. Because the way I live my life falls under these things, should fall under these things: the sovereignty of God, the moral will of God, God's plan and will for my life. So I live out my life according to the will of God. It is the way in which the Christian lives. The will of God is a way of life. And I want you to live that way. In fact, here's what Jesus said about the way of life that he was living while he was on earth. Watch what he said. John chapter 6. He said, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." This should be the attitude of every believer. I'm not living out my will. I want to live out God's will. That was Jesus' purpose. I'm going to live out God's will. I'm going to fulfill everything that God said about me. I'm going to do everything that God commanded to me to do, even going to the cross. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Because Jesus asked God if he could not go to the cross. The flesh side of the human side of him said, "God, if you could just take this away from me." But he said, "Nevertheless, your will be done. Your will be done." I want you to have this heart, and I want all of us to have this heart. Say, okay, God, I didn't come here because of my own will or my own purpose or my own agenda. I want to do God's will. Who wants that for their life? I want my life to be lived. When I die and they do my funeral, right, and they look at the five people at the funeral and they say, "Hey, listen, Zach lived out God's will." I love one of the passages about King David. If you've read it, it says, after King David had fulfilled, right, God's plan, God's purpose for his generation, then he died. I want that to be said of us, don't you? So the question we should ask then is, how do I make God's will my way of life? How do I actually weave that into my business life and my marriage life and my kid life and my going back to school life and all of these things? How do I weave it in? How do I make it part of my life? Well, I'm going to give you a few things that you can do today that are going to help you make God's will just kind of a natural part of your life, because it's not so much just found, if you will, it's a way of life in which the Christian lives. And so here we go. How do we do that? Number one, you have to pray God's will for your life. You have to pray for it. What was the last thing that you prayed for? Just think about it for a second. What was the last thing you prayed for? For most of us, it was probably stuff or money. It had to do something for, you know, for yourself. Most likely, we pray a lot of things for ourselves, don't we? I know I do. If you're human, you most likely pray for a lot of things for yourself. When was the last time you prayed for God's will? When was the last time you really said, you know what, God, I really desperately, deeply in my heart, I want your will? And if that's not your prayer, then maybe your prayer should be, God, align my heart with your will. One of the primary purposes of prayer is to allow God's will to be accomplished in our lives and in the world. It aligns us with God's purpose and God's plan. In fact, when the disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. We want to know how to talk to God. Will you teach us? Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 6. He said, this then is how you should pray. Everyone say how. This is how you do it, from the words of Jesus. Now, this isn't supposed to be robotic prayer. We're supposed to repeat it, you know, this mundane chant we do. But the principle and the purpose is still there. He says, our Father in heaven, because who's in heaven? Our Heavenly Father. He says, hallowed be not your name. If you don't understand the word hallowed, it's holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your what be done? Your will. Your will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. Pop quiz. Don't want to put anybody, I know it's back to school time. Pop quiz, okay? How much of God's will is done in heaven? All of it. All of it. And that should be the prayer of our life. God, I want all of your will to be done in my life as it is in heaven. And I start praying this. I really think that it would change a lot of our prayers, don't you? If we started praying, God, I want your will done in my life. See, praying for God's will aligns us with God's heart. Let me say that again so you can really grasp it. Praying for God's will aligns me with God's heart. It begins to change my selfish prayers into godly prayers. Now, I'm not saying you can't pray for stuff, you can't pray for blessing, you can't pray for resources, you can't even pray for abundance. I'm not saying you can't do that, but it should be with this heart that says, you know what, God, even if you don't give me those things, I want your will. I want your will, because you've heard me say it 100 times here at Fusion Christian Church. If God never does another thing for you for the rest of your life, he's already done enough because he gave us Jesus. And so we have to pray for God's will. Have you ever had a situation where you just didn't know what to do? I don't know what to do. I don't know how to deal with this situation. I don't know how to deal with this circumstance. I don't know what the next step is to take. You know, if God would just tell me what to do. If you could just get with the program. Mine particularly, if you could just speak to me. I don't care what happens. Anybody else, if you would just tell me. Sometimes we get so desperate, we get so much in the dark, we're like, God, I just need something. Would you just please help me? When the will of God becomes your way of life, our prayers seek his will. But I get it that there's sometimes I just don't know how to take the next step. The wonderful thing is that the Bible tells us that God has given us the Holy Spirit to guide us through times when we don't know what to do. Now, before I read this verse, I want to help you with that. How does the Holy Spirit talk to us? The Holy Spirit talks to us through his word. The Holy Spirit talks to us through times of worship. The Holy Spirit talks to us through the counsel of other, clarify please, godly people. When he speaks to us through godly counsel and godly advice. Huh, I didn't think about it that way before. And God speaks to us through those ways. And God speaks to us in our heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now watch, the Holy Spirit helps us when we're weak and we don't know what to do. Romans chapter 8, it says the Spirit helps. What helps us? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Just stop right there for a second. It's a very peculiar passage. It's very interesting. What do you mean through wordless groans? I don't know what it means. No one really knows what it means. But there's something supernatural about this aspect of the Holy Spirit in us when we pray, aligns us with the heart of God, and God and the Holy Spirit talk to each other in a language, in a way that is beyond our human understanding. It's supernatural. It means it's not natural. You guys understand? Now watch. And he who searches our hearts, if you don't know that God searches your heart, I'm glad you are at church today. Because God knows your heart. And he who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit. God already knows your mind. And he knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for God's people, thanks be to God for that, in accordance with the will of God. In accordance with whose will? God's will. So you see how much prayer connects us? See, when I pray, God, I need your will. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. And just continue to move in my life, Lord. I need a miracle. Now, there are times when you can just go before the Lord, say, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to turn. This is beyond me. Holy Spirit, give me wisdom. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us for God's help and God's direction. Thanks be to God for that. Yes, yes. And so I pray for God's will. Jesus on his way to the cross, and he's 100% human, 100% God at the same time, a very miraculous situation that the great I am would take human form and leave his glory in heaven and come down to be our sacrificial lamb. And the whole human side of him was agonizing. I do not want to be crucified. I can relate. I don't ever want to go to the DMV. I get it. Some things are just torture. He doesn't want to go. And he's praying. The Bible says he's sweating so much as if it were drops of blood. God, is there any way to pass this cup from me? And he says the most amazing thing. Nevertheless, your will be done, not mine. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, his human side could make this prayer, saying, God, I don't want this, but I just pray your will be done. If you want God's will in your life, you need to pray for it. You need to pray for it. And the other thing is say, hey, how can I know what God's will is for my life? How do I make it part of my life? Well, you need to read God's will for your life. Everyone say read. I was talking to somebody, some of you might not know, but we have a thing here at Fusion Christian Church called the Fusion Leadership Academy. And it just started a couple months ago, and next month they'll be starting some classwork, and I've been working with them, different aspects of ministry, growing them, raising them up as leaders, and saying, hey, who's going to take the helm in other places of ministry? Maybe some of them will go one day to plant churches or be in missions or whatever. And I had a conversation with one of them. I said, hey, okay, have you ever read the entire Bible? And he said, no. And I said, call me later, but not right now. He said, no, I haven't read the entire Bible. And I said, okay, you need to read the entire Bible. If you're going to be in ministry, you need to read the whole Bible. Otherwise, you won't have anything to say. Because here's the thing, and it wasn't a beat up, because there's many, many, many people who have not read the whole Bible. But if you're going to be in ministry, boy, you better read it. You better read it. Otherwise, you'll have nothing to say, and you'll have nothing to teach. Think about this, what I'm about to say to you. Often, we want to know what God's will is for our life, but we don't want to hear what he has to say. I want to know what God's will is, but I don't want to hear what you have to say. And we're just like walking around like, if God would just tell me, what is it? What does he want me to do? Think. If I had some sort of map or something to help me with it. Let me see what it says on Instagram. Maybe if I just, you know, talk to Chad GPT, right? I just can't figure it out for the life of me what it is. I wish I was joking, right? If you want to know what God's will is for your life, you must be taught by him. Psalms 134, he says, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your gracious spirit lead me forward on a firm footing. Teach me, God, your will. He teaches us through the word of God. He teaches us through the preaching and teaching of his word. He teaches us through his scriptures so that we might know his will for our life. I must read about his will for my life. And God teaches us through all of the stories and all the accounts of scripture. And if you never get God's word into your life, you will never know God's will. You'll never know it. And you wander around, you're like a rat in a maze, kind of like, I don't know which way to turn. Well, it's time to start going to the place that gives us the directions. Amen. In fact, Psalms 119 says this, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. Who here has ever stubbed their toe in the dark? Now be honest before God. Who here said the bad words? I know who you are. May the Lord purify your mind. Walking through life without God's word is like walking barefoot in the dark. Don't blame anybody but yourself because you didn't turn the lights on. When we don't read God's word, we're not turning the light on in our life. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It shows me where I am right now, and it shows me where I need to go. That's the will of God for your life. And I begin to be taught by him, God, what is the direction? And he teaches us his moral standards and his principles and practices for our life. And when we start living outside of God's word, we start living outside of God's will. Yes. Yes. Don't let that be you. Don't let that be you. You need to pray for God's will. You need to read God's will for your life. And you need to do this third thing. You need to transform to his will. Don't conform to theirs. Everyone say transform. Transform. And yes, the Transformer theme song did just go through my head. The will of God is a way of life. It's a way of life taught to us in the scriptures. It's the way of life that the Holy Spirit prays for us to have and intercedes for us to have. This way of life that just aligns us with the purpose and the plan of God. I've known a lot of people who know God's word, who know what God teaches, but yet still conform to the ways of the world. And to conform means to be in agreement with or to be in harmony with. They're aligned with it. And the Bible teaches us to do the exact opposite. In fact, here's what it says in Romans chapter 12. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need to change the way we think. Then you will be able to test and approve what? God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I get to know God's will. Good news! God's will is knowable. It's knowable. It's knowable how? When I stop conforming to the ways of the world and begin to be transformed by changing the way I think, by renewing of my mind. How do I do that? By praying for God's will and being taught God's will in his word. And it transforms the way I think and the way I make decisions in life. Why? Because I'm starting to live out God's will as a way of life. And it begins to teach me and change me and conform me into his image instead of conforming me into the ways of this world. There's a pattern in this world that is 100% against the will of God. It's a pattern the world gives. It's against the world, the way of God. And we don't want that for our life. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Only as we allow God's will to transform our minds through the power of the Holy Spirit can we begin to know more clearly what God wants us to do. And the patterns of this world are always in direct opposition to what God wants. Always. Always. That's why when Jesus comes again, he'll come with the new heaven and the new earth. He's making all things new. Why? Because the old way of things is not God's way. It's not God's way. We often conform to what the world does instead of letting God transform us. Anybody guilty of that? I'll raise my hand. We often do that. We fall prey to that. People say, God, if you would just tell me who to marry, if you would just send the right someone into my life. And there's nothing wrong with that prayer. That's actually a good prayer. God, would you just get, I want to have the right someone in my life. But then, you know, maybe you're sleeping around, or you're living with your boyfriend, or you're living with your girlfriend, you're having sex outside of marriage. And we pray for God's blessing while continuing to deliberately live in sin. I'm going to, again, for free, because I'm such a generous pastor. You don't even have to buy the book. I'm going to give you the number one secret to finding the right person in your life. Are you ready? No one's ready. Are you ready? Never date someone who doesn't love Jesus. Never date someone who doesn't love Jesus. If they don't love Jesus, you are not aligned in the will of God. There's no equal yoking there. And you can play the game all you want, but it's not going to have God's blessing. The number one thing you should look for when you want to find somebody to spend the rest of your life with, the number one question is, do you love Jesus? Not, what's your Instagram handle? Sorry, was that too personal? People often say, God, will you please help me with money? Will you please help me get out of debt? Will you please help me to have more money? Help me to, you know, be more successful. But are you tithing? Are you being generous? Are you being a giver? You see what I'm saying? We want from God, but we don't want the sacrifice that he asks us to give. Like, I want all the blessings, but I don't want the obedience. And so I have to say, okay, God, help me to renew my mind, the way I think. Lord, I'm conforming to the ways of this world. Transform me by the power of the Holy Spirit so that I might think and work and act and live according to your will. It's actually a really good point. Later on this week, you need to go back and listen to that again. How do I know what God's will is for my life? How can I get into my life? Well, I love this one. You need to give thanks. It's his will, his glory. Everyone say, give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. It's his will, his glory. Yesterday, I took my beautiful wife and one of our daughters. We went out to lunch, and we went to IKEA, the place where you get that quality furniture. Went to IKEA, and I ruined the day. I'll just be honest. I ruined the day. There was a lot of traffic, and I just was like, don't you people have anything better to do than to drive on my highway? And so it made me grumpy, and I wasn't in the best mood. And can we just pray for whoever invented the carts for IKEA? You know, who here has been to IKEA? They have the four carts, the wheels on the cart all move independently. So I'm pushing it down, right? And I'm like this, and I'm trying to, like, it's from hell, I'm telling you right now. The devil invented that cart. I ruined the day. Some of you haven't been to IKEA. You're going to go, just push the cart and leave. And you're like, I know exactly what Pastor's talking about. I ruined the day. Why? Because I was being grumpy. It was my attitude. I was not conforming to the will of God, nor my wife's will, which are really close. Just guess what? Just guess what, real quick. What is not in the Bible is that it's God's will for you to be a complainer and to be negative and to be grumpy and have an attitude and to lash out in anger. That's never God's will. In fact, here's what it says in 1 Thessalonians. It says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So look at that. Everybody say, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks. Rejoice always, Pray continually. Give thanks. Because this is God's will for you. See, life doesn't always go as we plan. So the attitude in which we have in those situations and circumstances determines whether or not we're going to live out God's will in that situation. And God's will for us in situations when we don't comprehend, we don't understand, we're frustrated, maybe we have a bad attitude, we're not living according to God's word, we say, okay, God, I just want to take a moment and I want to give you thanks. I'm praying right now you would help my mind, you would help my heart, I would live according to your word because I know in all situations you want me to live for your glory. And that's your will for me. And that's your will for me. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 10, it says this, so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. That's God's will for us. Some people think that their spiritual gift is negativity. It's not a spiritual gift. It's not from the Spirit at all. So don't let that be you. Don't let that be you. We have to do it for God's glory. The other day I was in a meeting, and I was talking to this person, and I gave him a sheet of paper that my admin had made up for me, our church admin. And we were talking about, as we were, the admin and I, many of you know who she is, her name's Lauren, and we were going over the stuff, and I said, okay, I said, the only, and you guys know I'm a joker, I like telling jokes, so I said, the only thing that's missing on here is a picture of me. And she's like, yeah, ha-ha. So she actually made one with my picture on it. So I was laughing. So I had this sheet. Well, I'm pretty sure at the meeting the other day I was in with this man, I accidentally gave him this sheet with my picture on it. And I didn't realize it till today. I'm like, now this person's going to think, this is all for my glory. Isn't that hilarious? I was laughing all morning about that. What we need to do is we need to get into this mindset where we're like, now I could be wrong, but I can't find the one with my picture on it. I'm pretty sure he's got it, and I want it back. It's like precious to me. We need to have an attitude that's for God's glory because that's his will for us. Not my glory, God's glory. You know, we sing this song. I'm going to ask Joel to come up now on the piano. But we sing this song that says, all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. And with every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. That's his will. That's his will. Jeremiah, the Bible says that God tells his people and tells you, I know the plans that I have for you. And they're good plans. They're not plans to harm you, to hurt you, but to give you hope and a future. And as we pray for God's will, as we seek his will through his word, God renews our mind and our attitude, and we begin to walk in his purpose. I want that for you.